This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Serial. Good morning, Melbourne, the greatest city in the world. I'm James, and as always, alongside me is Trisha.
Good morning.
And Brendan.
Hey, hey, hey.
This is Get Serial, and you better be excited because we have an absolute banger of a show for you this morning. The Thursday team is up and about because we have fresh new tracks by Rule and Tones and I. And a huge finals series starts tonight in the AFL, and Trisha is pumped to tell you all about her bias predictions. We have two massive interviews with Wing Defence and Melbourne Soup that you can't miss. But guys, I think it's time to play a fresh track early up. So first, with a brand new hit, is Bazzy with IFLY. A bit of sensitive language here, so you may want to listen with mummy. But you're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. Now, how are you all doing this morning? We haven't really caught up.
No, we haven't.
Well, we're here this time.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah, it's you that's normally the later one. You get here about 5 minutes before we actually start talking.
I like to be fresh and ready to go. I've done my exercise, running to the studio.
Would you call that fresh, ready to go?
Always fresh and
ready. Me and Trisha were outside when we first came, we tried to look for the table tennis ball to play a bit of ping pong before we started this morning. It was like 5:30 and we're just out there like, oh, Trisha, ping pong? She goes, yeah, ping pong.
No, I told you, from being the latest we've ever been last week, this week was the earliest we've ever been.
True.
So we had time to kill.
We were under pressure. Like, we felt like we had to wake up and get here early just to make up for last week. We're here about 5:10.
Oh, so you should have started broadcasting early.
You know what? I jumped on the panel side and had a bit of a suss to see if I knew if I could do it.
And?
I got scared.
Definitely thinking about it.
For the benefit of our listeners, James and Trisha were just a little bit late last week. They had some problems with an
emphasis
alarm.
Emphasis on a little bit.
Well, I over the last week, I managed to get a chance to get back home and see my family, which was good. So it's first time in a little while. Which, look, that's not terribly interesting so far, is it? You're all looking
so
a bit bored.
So location?
Near Mount Gambier, South
Australia.
Beautiful
part of the world, yeah.
Yeah, so technically just over the South Australia-Victorian border.
Beautiful.
Yeah, lovely
it's
area.
It's a nice area.
But I was reminded again that my family is just a little bit weird, and I wanted to check if I was the only one. Shout out to my family who'll be listening to this later on, I'm sure. But they have this habit of coming up with weird words and weird phrases and weird in-jokes. Now, I'm not sure if this is something that happens to others or not, but I thought I might share a couple and then see if you two have any that your family get up to.
Okay.
So one of the most commonly used ones is using the word corn for a completely unrelated reason. So
it has nothing to do with corn.
Not really.
Where
not
is this
apart
going?
From the original story. So essentially, if I was to start talking about something and then 20 seconds later you were to start talking about the same thing as though I'd never talked about it, I would say corn. And yeah.
Huh?
Okay, let me explain.
It's too early for my brain.
So once upon a time, my family were, I don't even remember if I was in the car, I think I was, but they were driving along and one of them started talking about a cornfield they saw off the side of the road. I kid you not, this is how this started, and said, oh look, there's some corn. While driving back, another one of my siblings
talked about the exact same thing.
Talked about, oh look, there's some corn.
And because the first one had already talked about it.
And the second one had no idea.
He's just like, corn, and that's just a running joke.
And that's how it started. And now if anyone starts talking about something that was just talked about as though it hadn't been talked about, you say corn.
Does it happen a bit?
Similar things happen in my family in terms of that. Like, I remember the next door neighbour's house was up for sale. So we're like, oh, it's up for sale. 3 months later, I kid you not, one of my brothers like, oh, guys, you know next door neighbor's house was up for sale?
3 months later.
Like, I kid
three
you not.
3 months later.
Like, 3 months might be a little stretch, but it was a long time. Like, we'd all been talking about it, all knew about it.
And you're, like, going past it every day.
Yeah, essentially, pretty much. So you didn't realise at all, but we have a few. We don't really have that many in-jokes. Our trend in our family at the moment is just quoting our parents on things they say.
Oh, dear.
And Trisha got a bit of a feel for that
last
night.
I was in stitches.
So at our house, you're not allowed to be a fussy eater because Dad's very experimental. He like gets out the pickled cabbage and all that kind of stuff. Like maybe your dried pineapple as well. He'd give that a red hot.
I do love a bit of dried pineapple.
He'd give that a red hot
crack.
Especially in the morning. So last night we've just been quoting things that he says, like, oh, you've got to try new things. And, like, just stuff like that. So just quoting parents, quoting mum, as I have on the show a couple of times about opening my curtains and stuff like that. So just family quotes we kind of get a laugh at.
Your mum does seem like a bit of a legend.
Oh, she likes to think she is. She likes to think she is. I know Trisha likes her.
I really do.
Highly of her. So, mum, you're out there. You've got a few fans.
Yeah, we're still waiting for her to call in, by the way. Would love to have a chat.
Yeah, well, I might set that up later in the show if we have any.
See if we can get some live on air quotes. What about you, Trisha?
I don't really spend that much time at home anymore. And when I do, I'm the one that gets picked on for the weird things that I do.
So you're the joke.
I really am the outlier of. Well, when I'm with mum, definitely I'm the outlier of the family. When I'm with dad, I sort of blend in, but I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I'll give you another one. Right. This one's a really weird one. So my family, generally speaking, is not allowed to swear in my house.
So are most families. You'd like to think.
Not mine.
Fairly strictly adhered to. So they get creative. Instead of swear words, there's been various ones going around over the years. I've been called a slime dogger on many occasions.
And I'd like to ask what that's translated to, but obviously can't say that on
there. Just get creative. I don't know. I don't know if it translates to one specifically, but the other one more recently, my family had an exchange student over the last few months, and he was a funny cookie, and my brother Dale is also a bit of an odd bod, and so between the two of them, they've come up with this new one, which is rat fungus.
God,
don't know exactly what it's supposed to mean. Don't know where it came from.
That.
No,
yeah.
I don't know. But it's now used on fairly regularly in the house. And is used to describe just about everything.
So basically, use an animal, use a plant, and there's your new swear word.
Pretty much, dolphin cactus
or something. You know what I mean?
It does sound mildly offensive in kind of a cute way.
Possibilities are like endless.
They really are. So his new plan for world domination, though, is that he was a French exchange student, and he's gone back to France with this new word, rat fungus. And his plan is he lives in a boarding school, and he's planning to get the entire school using this word, and eventually to
trendsetter.
Exactly.
Wow. I want to say in 3 years, if we could bring out rat fungus, and like, you know what? We can go back to the show right here today and say that we bloody called it.
That's right. And they'll just think, everyone in France will think that's just what you say in Australia too. They'll be like, oh, must be an Australian word. Yeah. Aussies, hey? How weird are they? When it's just my weird brother.
That's so good.
And on that note, we might get back into another song. Bit of High and Low by Empire of the Sun. Enjoy.
And that was Two Time by the 1975. I'm actually looking forward to their concert this month, just saying.
Times like four.
Yeah, well, we're just going to call it Two Time because I don't want to sit there and go, Two Time, Two Time, Two Time.
I just did, but anyway.
Right, so yesterday, you know, woke up and do my daily scrolling through my social media, and I was sadly reminded that it was the anniversary of Steve Irwin's death yesterday. So it was 13 years since he had passed away.
That is insane.
Yeah, honestly, it still feels like it only happened, a couple of years ago. Like, how quick it's gone. It's pretty sad. He still remains such an Aussie icon. You know, the legacy of Steve Irwin, I think it just strengthens as we get older and we understand more everything that he did.
For sure. I don't think there's anyone that doesn't like Steve Irwin. Like, he's the most lovable guy in Australia.
Like, just some of the things he did, you think it was absolutely crazy for the way he got so close to especially the crocodiles. It was unbelievable. But, so I thought we'd share some of our favourite Steve Irwin memories. And I jumped in straight away yesterday and said the time he did the feature with the Wiggles was definitely something I will always remember.
See, I think this is a little bit unfair because you are with a group of people who are all around the same age. And, of course, we were all big Wiggles fans because what else did you watch when you were young?
Like, the Hooly Doolies?
Oh, I remember them.
No, but in all seriousness, there was no bigger Wiggles fan than me.
My mum will fire you on this, I'm just saying.
No, no, I'm not joking. I've got photos to prove that there was, from the age of 4 to 7, you could not get the blue Wiggles top off me. I used to wear it every day to kinder. Used to make a little stage out of blocks, get up and sing Wiggle songs to my whole kinder class. And if you asked me what I wanted to do when I was 4, I would have said I wanted to be Anthony the Wiggle. So obviously Steve Irwin on that show, combined with the Wiggles, is the most best thing you could ever see as a child.
I could still see you being a Wiggle, I reckon.
He's short enough. He looks young enough, he could pull
with
it
the
up.
Tight pants, just chuck me on a skivvy and I'll be right to go.
He's just waiting for the call-up. So, Wiggles, if you're listening, you need an extra member. He's here and ready. But I don't know, that episode, so the episode that Steve Irwin did with the Wiggles, was iconic.
Was it an episode,
right?
Or was it a movie? Cause it was
there was a couple. There was a couple. They're kind of like feature things.
Because I've got like the whole like album of the Safari when they did their little feature together. So I feel like
the Wiggles is a movie. Steve Irwin did his own kind of episodes.
You know what? I'm going to have a look.
Yeah. There's a bit of sneaky searching in the studio. But
because I've got the album where, like, I've got quite a few of the Wiggles albums. I'm like, surely it would be a movie if it was that many songs.
Well, we watched it. In my house, it was watched many a time. Of course, you know, he did his thing. He basically just did normal Steve Irwin, just next to the Wiggles, from what I remember. And then there was a few songs thrown in. But it was some iconic moments. What about you, James? While we're finding out about that, what's your iconic Steve Irwin moment? Do you have another one?
Well, as you said, it's just kind of sitting on your little child beanbag in front of the old VCR, putting on the Wiggles and Steve Earle and just having a geeze.
Do you guys remember the song? I played it yesterday and I could sing every word to it.
The nostalgia.
I was so impressed with myself.
I think Brendan's going to get this one up because it is iconic.
When you hear it,
the nostalgic feeling from the Wiggles and Steve Irwin.
I
love how the Wiggles have slowly overtaken this segment. But they're both Aussie icons.
We
wouldn't have it any other way.
No way. Let's see if this rings any bells.
Yeah, this is exactly what I listened to.
Here we go. I'm waiting for Trisha to start singing along. Oh, Hunter.
Action Man.
It's the best.
This just makes me feel 5 years old again.
This is great. I love how we're just reacting on live radio to the Wiggles and Steve Irwin. Get your morning started off right.
That should be our intro music now.
I know.
Oh, this is iconic.
Forget Gogglebox. We've got Wigglebox on right now.
I love it.
No, my probably fondest memories were watching some of the various episodes. And I had friends who were full-on obsessed with Steve Irwin. So they'd watch everything. They had all the box sets. And I was with one of these mates at one point in my backyard, and I was up in the tree. I had a, you know, wild childhood, so to speak. I was up in the tree, and I saw a blue-tongued lizard on the ground below, and so I jumped out of the tree and caught the lizard. And my friend, after that, just said, you are Steve Irwin. You are the crocodile hunter. I think in hindsight, it was a very small crocodile, but more of a lizard. But we'll claim it.
Yeah, I used to have a friend in kinder who dressed up as Steve Irwin every day and brought his little soft toy crocodile in.
Oh, that's legendary.
And he used to have the figurines as well of Steve and can't remember her name, but she was
Terry.
Terry, that's right. Steve and Terry had their own action figures and he used to play with them. And
have either of you been to Shai Zoo?
Yes, a long time ago.
It's a really good zoo. I don't know, a zoo's a zoo to me, but it feels different when you're there knowing it's like Steve's zoo.
Yeah, he was larger than life, wasn't he? Even long gone. I mean, if you want to feel really old right now, just remember that Bindi Irwin's getting married, so.
I know.
Wait, is she older than us?
No,
she's our age.
She's your guys' age.
Yeah, I think she might be a year older, so your age.
I think she's my age from memory. Maybe a couple months older, a couple months younger.
Yep, she is engaged, and I wonder where my life is going at the moment.
Yep. Where's my life? Anyway, I think we should get into another song. Here is 1979 by The Smashing Pumpkins.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. Just heard a bit of Bad Liar there by Selena Gomez. Splitting us in the studio. Trisha's absolutely loving that one.
Yeah, I chose
that. Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, James has got his, well, one of his favourite segments, I would say, coming up for us now. Tell us about it, James.
Yeah, one of the most anticipated segments of the show. I'd like to think so anyway, but yeah, it's Hate It or Rate It. And every week we look forward to it. Oh, I certainly do. But yeah, as we do every week, I give you a series of controversial topics and you guys just tell me whether you hate it or you rate it and give a little bit of reasoning.
Yeah, normally they're very serious, important questions as well.
We had the Palmer edition a few weeks back, so definitely a serious topic.
They're the questions that keep me up at night.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the first one certainly might be. Showers in the morning are better than showers at night. Brendan, do you hate that opinion or do you rate it?
No, I rate it, but then I also mostly have my showers at night. So I'm a real contradiction here. But no, the thing I hate about showers at night is then you've got wet hair for going to bed or whatever. And with long hair, it just takes ages to dry.
I can understand. See, my hair dries pretty quickly, so I don't have that problem.
But all right.
I feel it.
Mr. Short Hair. What about you, Trisha?
No, I hate it. Night showers are the better.
Are they better? Don't they? Like, how late are we talking?
Oh, I'll come home from work at 12 o'clock and jump in the shower.
But doesn't that disrupt you then going to sleep afterwards?
Yeah, do we have a time that's too late to shower?
But you're living your whole day doing what you do and then you go to bed without a shower. You're dirty. It's gross.
Like, there's also about waking up fresh and having a shower and washing all that sleep out.
You get a face washer.
Very, very true.
Like, once you're asleep, you're just asleep. You're just... Like, you're just chilling. Like,
another one. The next one is a bit of a habit of mine. I've done it the last three times. But
oh no, I have seen this one in action.
You have. Asking an Uber driver if they have been busy tonight or that night.
I kind of hate it, but you do it ironically at this point, James. Like, you know that it's a terrible question to ask. They don't enjoy it. But you do it anyway, so...
Because I remember when I first started cashing Ubers, it was habit. And then now it's a little bit of a meme. So now that when I do it, I'm kind of like, I know I'm doing it. And they kind of look at you like, yeah, guys, it's old now.
The last time we were in one of these cars together, James is giggling away. You can hear him sniggering in the front seat. And you're just waiting for it. Trisha and I are in the back seat, just waiting for it. And there it comes. It's... So have you been busy tonight, mate?
I couldn't hold it in. I was almost giggling just because I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was doing, but I did it the night after, and I did it well. So
I never realized that it was like such a meme. I would do it, especially if I was in an Uber by myself to try and get a conversation going.
Yeah, for sure. All you guys, you've been busy tonight, mate, and they'll be like, oh yeah, not bad.
Yeah, and then you ask them, you know, whatever. But
and that's like your conversation starter to the Uber.
I think when you're by yourself, it's acceptable. When you're in a group,
it's just so overused, though. I mean, look, I'm as guilty of it as the next person. I used "Have you been busy today?" everywhere. I'll ask, you know, the attendant, barista. Yeah. I'll ask my, the petrol Electra. Attendant. Oh, well, they're going to say yes to that.
Pretty much. And the last one is we had the EJ Whitten game on Friday night, and it's having it as the AFLX style as they did. And that's basically a hybrid of AFL where they play it on a square. And there's like super goals, and it's not footy. And EJ Whitten would be rolling in his grave.
They're changing something that does not need to be changed.
So do you hate it or rate it?
I hate or rate AFLX being used for
EJ Whitten game. That's the one.
Ooh, I didn't love it. I didn't love it. I mean, I get that it got a whole lot more goals to happen, but when I watched the bits of the game I saw, I don't think a tackle was laid.
Yeah, can I just put my opinion on this one? It's my segment, but I do have a little bit on this. Is the fact that for a crowd perspective, it's terrible. Like it's not a crowd draw at all. But think about the guys playing the game. They can't run a footy oval anymore. Yeah, they're retired stars. They can't run up and down a footy oval. Having it at a square probably suits the players playing the game. It means they can play maybe a better quality of game than what they could do at a footy oval.
I don't think people go there expecting...
A spectacle,
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
You go there to have a laugh, and all the men out there know that they're gonna have like have a joke about it.
So you two were there then?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, didn't rate it at the stadium?
Good to catch up with my mates, but I could catch up with them at the library and have the exact same.
Okay, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad.
Would have been interesting to see it played in a different stadium as well.
Yeah, that's probably what made it, if anything. Yeah. If anything, what made it, seeing footy at Amy Park was definitely...
Yeah, it's different.
Melbourne Rectangular Stadium, I should say. It was definitely a better spectacle. But anyway, that is Hate It or Rate It for another week. And Trisha's all over this song. She likes a bit of Grace Kelly by Amika. That's what we have now for you. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Get Serial on Sin.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. You just heard a bit of Atmosphere by Potsy, P-O-T-C. Not a bad tune.
Bit of a mood to it, especially in this dimmed studio we have this morning.
That's it. Matt Gambier, producer there, so from the my neck of the woods, which is good to see. It's time for what is probably my favourite segment. And I'm a bit biased, much like James previously with his Hate It or Rate It.
We're coming to Trisha being very biased in a second.
Yeah, so we're all a bit biased, really. We're not very good objective reporters. Lucky we're doing a breakfast radio show.
Exactly.
As opposed to any serious news. So my favourite segment, of course, is Ridiculous Quiz. This is the ongoing battle between James and Trisha for ultimate quiz supremacy. We try a different one each week. Where are we at?
Well, this is my favourite one when I win, which I currently have the trophy in front of me. So
you do currently have the legend.
And the overall, yeah.
4-3.
4-3 overall.
Trisha's in front. It's been pretty competitive. I thought I'd just sweep her away.
I think that's why it's become such a good segment. It's because it's like the anticipation. Like, this is really going to go either way.
We're coming down to the last couple of weeks, which is pretty sad, but exciting in terms of the Ridiculous Quiz, because we might have a.
Are we going to just
win? If Trisha wins this week, dare I say it, she's in the box seat here for outright.
Because
it's coming to those weeks where I don't have a lot of time to back up. If she wins this week, I think I have to win maybe next three
to at least get the title. Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
this is the most important one of the season. So a bit of pressure on me, more so.
And I think you guys should put something on the line. I think,
as I said, I think we need a prize.
Yeah, I don't think it should be monetary. I think it should be punishment.
Do we think about it off air? Come on next segment and tell us what.
I think we should think of a couple of things, and
we might come back for it next week. But look, I've combined two loves here, because not only do I love quizzes, but I am also a big fan of the classic movie Shrek.
And who isn't the fan of the classic movie Shrek?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. recently, an internal survey went around Sin, and one of the comments is that we need less Shrek-related content on Sin.
Well, bugger off, because we've got more. Bugger off. We love a bit of Shrek.
Well, this is my way of disagreeing with whoever put that in the survey. So shout out to whoever that was. But no, we need more Shrek-related content on air. I am a very proud fan of some good Shrek-related content. Right, guys? We gotta love it. Come on. It's iconic.
Yes.
We love Shrek.
There we go.
Oh, it's beautiful.
This song gets played like every day, I think, on...
Tool in the Shed.
Anyway, let's get into it. You know the drill. Use your name as buzzers. And it is best of three.
Oh, no. Actually, please, just for today, can we choose Shrek characters to buzz our name in?
Fine.
Donkey.
And I'm Lord Farquaad.
By the time you get that out, Trisha's going to beat you, but sure. Let's go.
I'll just
say
Farquaad. Farquaad.
Make sure you pronounce that correctly, please. Please, you're going to get us kicked off air otherwise. All right, question one. While Trisha's still losing it. All right.
Okay, I'm scared.
So, in the beginning of the movie, what does Shrek put in his drink? Shrek 1.
Lord Farquaad.
Yes, Lord Farquaad.
I'm actually unsure on this. I'm going to say onions.
No.
It's not onions?
Yep, counter guess.
Donkey? It's a slug.
Oh, you're close,
so close,
but no,
yeah,
I can't give it to you. No, sorry, it was a eyeball. He pulls it from a jar of eyeballs and spoons them into a bowl. All right, question two.
Where's
and remember,
slug?
That's right, I got... That's later on.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that, maybe.
Oh, okay. That's a hint.
So we'll go until someone reaches two, essentially.
Have you got heaps?
I've got heaps. I'm ready to go today.
Okay.
All right, what is Princess Fiona being guarded by?
Trisha, wait, that's not my name.
Lord Farquaad.
That's not fair.
It's your own fault. You suggested this ridiculous concept.
I didn't. He said it.
I might choke here, though. She's in the tallest tower, but it's the dragon.
That is correct.
How's that fair?
If you could remember your name.
He said my name is James and he got away with it.
It's Donkey. No, he went to Farquaad. I didn't accept James. Yeah. Come on. Remember your name is Donkey from now
on. Donkey.
I'm not happy. I knew that.
Donkey. I've got a few questions to save this.
What
does Gingerbread Man say when Lord Farquaad asks him where the rest of the fairy tale creatures are?
Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man!
No!
No?
Can you repeat the question? I knew he was going to do that.
This is a shambles. What does the Gingerbread Man say when Lord Farquaad asks him where the rest of the fairy tale creatures are? It's an iconic line.
What does he say? I just said he's famous.
Wait, it's my guess first, but I don't know.
Well, you have to say Donkey.
You get one guess, and then we move on.
Oh, that's all right. If he knows it, he can say it.
I should know this.
Come on.
I love the Gingerbread Man, as you just heard.
That was actually, spot on. I'm so impressed.
Good impression.
Yeah. Another one we'll have to get the soundbite of. Come on.
I don't know.
No, too late. We're not mucking around here. The answer is, eat me.
He does.
All right. Here's an easy one. Get ready.
I'm so salty right now.
During the opening credits, Shrek is seen in a mud bath. What does he use to wash his back?
Lord Farquaad.
Go for it, Farquaad.
I want to say slugs because you said it. So I'm going to say slugs.
Incorrect. Trisha?
You said easy.
The onion, isn't it?
No, incorrect as well. It was a brush. Come on. Of course he's going to use a brush.
Oh, that's too obvious.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's go really easy then. Come on, Trisha, to stay in it.
I'm trying.
Where does Shrek live?
Oh, I did it again.
Yes. In a swamp. Correct. James is the comeback king. It is now, 4-4 in the ridiculous quiz stakes.
Donkey.
You can't
change. Be quiet, donkey.
You can't change the rules 1 week.
Donkey.
What's it called when you learn something over and over again? Of course I'm going to say
donkey,
Trisha.
Donkey, you're a bit salty. You're a little bit salty.
Because I knew both those answers.
You picked the easier name. He literally has to say Farquaad and not swear on air. And you still was too slow. I'm sorry. That is 4-4.
4-4. Trisha does not want to give it.
I don't care. I knew both of them.
Tuck the trophy under the arm and she's going home.
How can you tell me 1 week to call myself Donkey when
my
name is Trisha?
Can you give me the trophy?
You're listening to Get Cereal with Brendan, Trisha and Lord Farquaad over there. Let's get into another tune before Trisha's salt overwhelms the studio. What have we got coming up next? A little bit of Ivory Lullaby. This is a great track.
No, we have Iris.
Yeah, we'll go Iris then. Goo Goo Dolls. Another great track. Enjoy. We've got to clean up the salt in the studio. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin.
Cereal. Coming up in this fine 7 a.m. hour of Get Cereal is definitely the most anticipated segment, Trisha on Sports. So, James, don't try and tell me otherwise. We're going to have a chat about group chats, the Global Livable Report, and James's unfaithfulness. And trust me, it's not what you think. Make sure you're tuning in just after 7:30 for our interview with Wing Defence. That is one you do not want to miss. Some artists that will keep you bopping along to on your drive into work include the likes of The Temper Trap and Simple Plan. But first, here is Ivory Lullaby by Safia. You are listening to Get Cereal on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan.
You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. You just heard Ivory Lullaby by Safia, who just released their new album, Story Start or End. Absolutely loving that tune and absolutely loving the album. So get around it. Always love some good Aussie music. But we'll get into our next segment now. And this is one that James is giving me a look right now. He's not impressed. That's right. For those who missed it last week, we are back with the Moose, the worst pun-related radio segment on radio. It is both about cows, and it is very serious because it is news. It is cow news. It is the Moose. Get around it. We did it for the first time last week to mixed reception here in the studio. We're bringing it back.
Reception.
Good reception. I'm hearing good over there. I'm not hearing anything from Trisha. No.
I'm still thinking about if I'm going to actually move for you boys on air or not. But
we'll it's
see.
Our signature sign off, so we'll bring it back. I was going to give it a rest for a few weeks, but there's been just so much cow-related news that I could not help myself. It's been going wild in the cow world. Now, first of all, we're going to start off on a bit of a serious note. This one's pretty brutal, to be honest. Booby-trapped cows have detonated in Iraq, wounding a person.
Wait, so you're saying like bombs in cows?
I believe bombs on cows. A security source said that a civilian was wounded when booby-trapped cows exploded in a village in eastern Iraq. The source stated that two cow bombs exploded in the village of Al-Isla. Wounding a civilian. Security forces cordoned off the scene and transported the injured person to a nearby hospital for treatment. I'm disappointed there's no mention here of if the cow's okay or not, but I assume
you wouldn't think so.
Not doing too well, no.
A couple of nice steaks off that.
James!
Pre-cooks. Oh. No, but look, I don't know about using animals in warfare. I'm really not a big fan of that.
No, I'm not a fan of that
obviously
at all.
Not.
No, but the use of the phrase cow bomb is one I never thought I'd hear.
Yeah.
I can't say I've said that before.
Yeah.
That's not part of my vocabulary.
No, and when people talk about an explosive cow, I wouldn't have thought they'd be referring to literally being explosive. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on to something that's a bit less serious. That was a bit sad. This one is probably my favourite of the week. A Sladeburn farmer in the UK has changed a cow's passport to sell it at a higher price. The look on James' face. A man has pleaded guilty of changing a cattle passport so he could fraudulently pass off a cow as farm assured, despite it not meeting requirements, in order to sell it at a higher price. So what do we reckon about falsifying documents for a cow?
Illegal, surely.
Obviously. But it's unheard of, isn't it?
I think I think this happens a lot in the animal industry, faking details about the animal. Official ear tag number, breed and sex, all this kind of stuff, trying to make it, I guess, worth more. But I just think the thought of falsifying a passport, it's like, what? No, it's not an English cow. I swear it speaks with a Italian accent. It's my Italian cow.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine a cow just mooed with her accent?
There's your challenge. And what accent was that, James?
That was definitely Lithuanian.
up the Aussies against Lithuania in the basketball, by the way. But I don't think we've got any cows involved there. Yeah, that's tonight. Get keen. We might.
Was that last?
No, that's coming up tonight.
It is tonight, 9:30. Get around
it. Yeah, Australia v. Lithuania. It should be a good one. But no cows involved in that game as far as I'm aware. And we are focused. We are dedicated cow reporters, which is why we should get to our last article. And this is only in America, which is, you could just about say that about half the stories we talk about on Get Serial here on Sin. But ritzy California residents are furious over the invasion of cows and bulls into their San Jose neighborhood. I don't know if I've pronounced that right.
San Jose, probably maybe. Haven't.
Thank you, sir. That's why you are the brains on this show. And I am
Please don't ever tell him that he's the brains.
You'll never hear
that will go
it,
straight
Brendan.
Through his head.
He's going to get that clip and send it to me every day. Now, the thing I love most about this article is that they've got in there with a good pun. And here on The Moose, we do like a good pun. The first line is, now that's some neighbourhood beef.
I love it.
Oh, there we go.
That was almost too bad. It was so good.
Exactly. It's not a string of robberies or vandalism that is riling up residents of a ritzy neighbourhood. Homeowners on Whitetail Lane are furious over new unwelcome visitors, a herd of cows. For the last 2 months, cows have been moseying into the streets and yards at night and fleeing before sunrise. During these overnight visits, the bothersome bovines tear up manicured lawns, emit incessant mooing that keeps residents awake. So basically just like you, James, incessant mooing. and leave behind a parting gift. giant piles of poop. Homeowner estimates he spent $600 fixing broken sprinkler heads and too much time cleaning up manure. We talked about cow terrorists in the first story of this. This is
now the cow is
the cow tourists of America under their own
the cow
under their
apocalypse
own steam.
Taking over the world.
Oh my goodness.
I've just got these random thoughts, like these odd thoughts of cows kind of driving and stuff like that.
Absolutely. They're getting. I love that they're fleeing before sunrise. They're getting out of the way. I think this story is utterly ridiculous. I mean, am I milking it? Am I milking it too much?
Oh, that was good. I'll pay that. Get around it. Get around him.
I can't deal with this segment.
I didn't think you'd be able to. Well, we might go and graze on some better pastures over here.
Stop.
But before we do, Trisha, come on, get her. We've got to finish off with a signature sign off. Ready, set, move.
I think we should jump into a song. We've got Summer Paradise by Simple Plan.
I'm jumping out of this shoe. I'm going for a walk.
This is Summer Paradise. You're listening to James, Trisha, and Brendan on Sin. That was Summer Paradise by Simple Plan and Sean Paul. You're listening to James, Trisha, and Brendan on Sin. And now we have... I'm actually going to have a rant.
You're going to have a rant. Now, you do like your classic rant each week.
I love
James's
a rant.
Rant. Yes.
I have a rant on this show at least twice a week, pretty much, about something really odd. And this morning, it is about group chats.
Oh. I'll join in on this one.
Now, no one likes too much group chats or group chats that just constantly go off. Like, do you mute them or don't you because there might be something important that you miss?
Come on, get mad. Unleash the beast.
Oh, I'm waiting for it. But it's 3 a.m. and you've got a uni group chat for work. Now, get some sleep and stop messaging 500 times while I'm trying to sleep about a Parmigiano magazine.
That group chat hasn't gone off like that. Has it?
It did once.
Oh, no, it did. Yeah. No, I remember now. Yeah.
3 a.m. 500 messages.
Hurts.
It is not important. It can wait till the morning, things like that. Why do you think someone is going to be up at 3?
I mean, especially when we are a breakfast show that gets, well, you guys get up at 4:30. I get up a little bit later because I'm a slacker, let's be honest. But, you know, we're getting up at that time. So we need our sleep. We need our little hours and we don't get them because someone's group chat messaging at midnight. Now, to all of those out there who are saying, just mute your phone and get over it, grow up. James over here, if he mutes his phone.
My alarm doesn't go off.
We found that out last week.
I think I've cracked the code with this, though. So I think...
My volume was turned all the way
down. Yeah, so you know like how you have the ringer sound? I reckon the ringer sound was low, so we have slept through it.
Right.
I personally... that's what I think. I don't know, but...
That's a mystery for another day, I think.
Yeah.
The ongoing mystery
of... How do you guys feel about group chat? I'm in about 500 of them with the same people.
I'm so popular. I have so many fans.
It's not about that. It's just,
no, it's fair. You're in
500 with the same people, like... Are they useless?
And have you had those moments where someone will start a group chat and then realize they added a couple of people they don't actually want in there? So then they'll start a new one without them.
Because they don't want to feel bad of deleting it.
Exactly.
Oh, I hope no one's done that about me.
Or you get big friendship. I've had this happen before. You have a big friendship group and then there's a little group off to the side and they call themselves the inner circle.
Yeah.
So they're the inner circle of that big friendship group.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's a burn if you're not in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and then we...
How do you feel? That cuts deep.
You really can't win either because if you're in a group chat, as you say, you got all these notification issues and if you mute notifications and you just never hear about it and so then something relevant might actually go on. There might be something you need and you miss it. I'm in a bunch of basketball ones and this is where a good opportunity to get a bit of a rant out there. It's great to see, you know, when there might be a pickup game or something going on. But oh my goodness, please stop sending random memes through there, guys. I hang out with you guys for basketball and that's about it. If I wanted to see your meme game, please just, I don't know, send them individually, put them on your Facebook feed. Why do I have to see them in the group chat? Why?
Bit of attention, but I can't, that'd be a bit of being a hypocrite, because I do that a little bit to some group chats. I'll be like, oh, look how funny I am, bang.
I can't
talk about that. Yeah, but our uni group chat is for
that. Our uni group chat is like, you're the one that messages at weird times of the night and has your little rant, and I'll wake up in the morning and see all these messages. I'm like, oh.
I'd like to think it's pretty family-friendly time slots that my messages go through.
Family-friendly, got to make sure you're broadcasting to the widest audience possible.
Group chats are just annoying.
So that's the end of this
do you
rant?
Have, no, no, do you have annoying? More group chats that are muted or more than
I don't
just...
mute them. Mm. I don't mute them, but a lot of the time, like, you boys will probably notice as well when it comes to, like, our radio chat, like, it'll go off at the most inconvenient of times. Most of the time we're talking about stuff when I'm at work.
Yeah.
And I don't have the time or the energy after work to go home and read through all these messages. So I'll either ask one of you the next day what was going on or just read the notifications and not open it.
To be fair, our group chat is mostly James and I making terrible puns about cows and various other things with a bit of help from our EP Tom. So I can understand why you don't get around it.
Yeah, I'm funny. I find some of it funny, but I don't know.
No, fair enough. We might get into another track. What do we got coming up, Trisha?
We have Riverina by The Temper Trap. I said that right, didn't I?
You certainly did.
Yeah, I was really worried. That's a tongue twister.
Now, about
anyway,
the Temper
it's,
Trap.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of a plea out to our Get Serial listeners. We would absolutely love if we could somehow manage to get The Temper Trap in on the show. Probably the last one to just, you know,
capital.
Finish it all.
They could give us a bit of an MCG song. Like,
they could. We get a bit. Oh, imagine yeah. hearing those, Sweet
we might announce
live.
It now that the last show will be on Grand Final week, and it is going to be a whole footy playlist. We're doing a big footy colour show here on Get Serial Thursdays.
Yeah, we'll come, yeah.
To plug the AFL.
Poor Temper Trap.
Grand
we're plugging
final.
Them now.
So Temper Trap, if you want to be our Grand Final entertainment,
that would be amazing.
That would be epic.
We literally play you every week, our plea.
You have three of the biggest fans in one room right now, so I think you should come.
Yeah, free concert tickets are always a must as well.
Okay, all right. You've crossed the line there, James. We better get into this tune. Enjoy. This is some more Temper Trap for you all.
Now, wasn't that a bit of a bop?
Just a little bit. We're getting wild in the studio, of course.
We have this morning, haven't we?
Yeah, and a bit of headbanging to that one.
Very up and about.
Oh, I have to be. Make sure you get on the Instagram story to check out me having a good time. I think James was recording.
A bit of a headbanger.
When the hair comes
Brendan.
Out, you know it's serious.
You know it's a tune. Anyway, it's time for Trisha's favourite segment of the week.
Yes, what a segment to back it up with such a tune. Trisha on sport. I love this time of the week.
A lot going on in the sporting world, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, actually.
We've got the basketball tonight. Crick Ashes started last night. Footy final starts tonight. That's a huge one.
Funnily enough, this is Trisha's segment, so maybe we should let her talk about sport.
Every week he takes over this segment. Every week. I don't blame him.
It's our bread and butter,
we
isn't
do,
it?
Yeah, we do study it, so
yeah,
I don't
well,
blame
you seem to try and eat the whole sandwich, though, James. Let's be honest here.
I'm surprised it hasn't become a Trisha and James on sport. I'm
and then eventually it'll just be James on sport.
And Trisha's just irrelevant.
Get into it, Trisha. What are we talking about?
So, last night, the fourth test of the Ashes started. So, that, I can't say I watched much because, you know, I had an agenda this morning to be here, so that's okay. So, our Aussie men are currently 3 for 170, and, of course, who else than Steve Smith leading the way for our boys?
Well, he hasn't top scored yet. Good old the Marnus Lasagna, whatever you call him, Labuschagne. Got 67, got out pretty cheaply, but good innings by him, and Smith's not out. So obviously Smith needs to
Did you end up watching?
Yeah, like, I watched a little bit once you went to bed. There was a bit of a rain delay, so I didn't resume till a little bit later.
I mean, as we said in one of a few weeks ago, we had a weather report on the show for England, and surprise, surprise, it was raining.
Yeah, just yeah.
Surprise, surprise,
there.
It's still raining.
hasn't stopped since we announced it. So, yeah, yeah. It hasn't stopped raining in England. But yeah, it's an interesting Ashes test so far, with both our openers getting out really early.
Well, Warner was out on the dock.
I mean, we have two batsmen right now. Two and a half, if you count. I don't know. Maybe Wade's had a couple of innings, but
yeah. Otherwise, Smith and Labuschagne has come in and really fired.
So, what do you reckon for this one, Trisha? What's going to happen tonight?
It's going to rain.
I wish I watched it last night to have actually seen how it was going.
Smith looks
along,
comfortable from what I've seen. Looks comfortable.
Well, he scored that many. He's got to be back by now. It sounds like he faced a lot of short bowling too, from what I heard overnight.
Jofra Archer was giving him some pearlers right there.
James and I were saying that Smithy and Travis Head need to score at least 100 between them for us to be in a comfortable position.
100 more between them. They're on 170 now. If they can get to 270 and then the next wicket falls, then I'm sure the bottom order, plus with Wade there, can conjure up another 100.
Yeah, again, it becomes a question if they get to that position of how big a score you go for.
It's probably around three. It's a bowling track, so 350 is fine.
To leave themselves time. I don't know how much it's going to continue to rain, but it is England, so it will continue to rain. So
they played about half a day, just a bit over half a day with the rain.
And if they can win this test, I mean, they retain the Ashes.
Retain the Ashes. So nice. A lot on the line for this test.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a watch after the West Coast Essendon game tonight.
Footy's fighters, we're getting into it, guys.
Finally, I'm very excited. That week off without football definitely took its toll on me, but it's okay.
Do we have tonight?
So we have West Coast Essendon. It is West Coast home game. I'm tipping West Coast, boys. What about you?
Well, it has now been 5,000 days. I don't keep up with
since
the Facebook.
Since Essendon last won.
I'm still impressed that you knew that.
I saw it again during the week. There's a great Facebook page. I probably shouldn't promote them because I'm not affiliated with them in any way. But it counts down every single day since Essendon last won a final. It has been a long time.
Do you know how long it has been?
How many days?
I wasn't in primary school. I was in kinder. YouTube wasn't invented. Video platforms online.
MySpace was the thing.
Yes, that certainly was. I think it's going to be another 5,000 days till Essendon win another final because they're not winning tonight. West Coast will get over the line in that one. And it's your boys tomorrow night, isn't it, at the G? Geelong Collingwood.
And please don't throw out you're being a bias, but I seriously think my boys can get up tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm with you. I reckon Collingwood will cause an upset tomorrow night. They're predicting rain, and I think that far side Collingwood have will just be too strong. They've got a bit too much X factor. The likes of Gary Ablett and Dangerfield, they're wet weather players as well, so don't count them out of the game. But
got a couple expected to return that are nice to the side. So,
Who have they got coming back?
Darcy Moore, Jordan Dugowie. Steve-O's cleared from the suspension. So
some dodgy business went on there. Did you hear about how he was allowed to play in the VFL? Was it last week?
It was 2 weeks ago. A bit sneaky, but
it was very sneaky because he was banned for until
finals.
It was 10 weeks.
And
Collingwood played on the Friday night and the VFL game was on the Saturday. So technically
his ban was over after the Friday night.
Yeah.
But you would have thought it's for 10 rounds. I don't know. That seems dodgy.
I don't know how I feel about it. Probably shouldn't have played.
Well, do you think if Collingwood played the Saturday night, they would have put him in the side?
No.
Interesting question. I don't know.
I think it was VFL. You couldn't have chucked him straight into the finals, I don't think. I think getting him to have a run around in the VFL side was,
I guess, but it just feels a little bit like Collingwood's being helped out with this one. Not to gang up on you and your Collingwood team, because you're the only one of us to have a team in finals or anything, but it is.
You know what? Whether he was allowed to play or not last week, whether he was allowed to play this week, I still think it was irrelevant. We've proven we can win without him.
That's right. You'll go out in straight sets anyway, so I'm not too worried.
So you think Geelong's going to win tomorrow?
I think Geelong will win. I think they've had a week to slow down Collingwood's momentum, a week for Geelong. They had a good win
against Carlton last round, that's right.
Yeah.
But I feel I feel a bit opposite to that is having an easy win last round isn't as good as having a fought-out win because they did have the bye to rest and Collingwood got practice against an opposition that is playing finals.
I don't know. I think the bye resets everything. So you kind of, to me, I go into this game as, okay, it's first versus fourth.
I hate that. I hate the bye.
Yeah,
I don't like the bye either.
You and every Western Bulldogs fan out there hates the bye because they had so much momentum coming
into finals. I'm surprised Geelong have it.
Western Bulldogs loved the bye a couple of years ago when they won the premiership because they were out of form coming into finals and that saved them. But anyway, speaking of the Doggies, Trisha. Yeah.
So we have GWS Doggies for the first game on our doubleheader on Saturday. GWS home game. I'm going GWS.
You are, because I think Doggies are the inform. And these two teams have a little bit of rivalry since that preliminary final.
Yeah.
They've got that rivalry, and it's good to see GWS having a rivalry with another team. I think the Doggies just have that form going for them. They did it down at Giant Stadium a couple weeks ago, and they'll do it again.
Just how lucky are we to have such a good game, considering it's 5th versus 8th? That's going to be a fantastic game. All of them just about this weekend. The only one I'm worried about
is
blowout.
That's 6 versus 7.
The 6-7.
Is it 6-7?
Doggies did jump Essendon for
did
percentage.
Did they really? That's amazing. Well, it shows you how much attention I've been paying. But how lucky are we? The only game I'm worried about being a blowout is Eagles-Essendon. Every other game is basically a 50-50. So I think the Doggies will get up, but I'll be going for GWS. So I'm a confusing person, as usual.
Yeah, I'm the same with you, Brendan. I'll
but,
agree.
And then we finish it off with Brisbane-Richmond on the Saturday night. And I think that is, other than my game, I think that's the one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I've got an interesting theory on that. I think you know this theory, Trisha, that the loser of this final is going to win the grand final.
Yeah, we did talk about this last week. That's a big call.
Because I feel Brisbane will lose this game. Richmond haven't lost at the Gabba since 2009. I think they'll win this game, but Brisbane have a home final for the semi. Brisbane will keep winning, and by the time they get to the grand final, they'll know how Richmond have been playing. They would have played Richmond twice, would have lost to them twice. They'll know Richmond's game plan. They'll come big day on September, and they'll win the flag, Brisbane.
That's a very big call. I think Brisbane will win this game. I think they're everyone's second team because they just play such an exciting, fun brand of footy.
They're an exciting team.
How can you not get around it?
I said during the week, could you imagine if it ended up being a Brisbane-Western Bulldogs grand final? There would not be one sad person, I think, watching that grand final.
That would be an amazing game. And two amazing stories as well. So, yes, I back that as well.
Well, for Doggies to have done it twice in their position or look at Brisbane, the seasons that they've had prior, come out of nowhere.
They haven't been good since 2004, 2003. It's been a long time since
unfortunately, if Brisbane lose
good.
On Saturday, that fairy tale goes out the window. Because I think they'll be playing Doggies the next week at the Gabba.
Yeah.
So they need a win for that to happen. So hopefully Brisbane do win, so that is a possibility.
Yes.
All right. See. Well, any other sport updates for us, Trisha? We've got the basketball coming up tonight, as we talked about earlier. That's my area, forte. We're playing Lithuania, who are obscure in everything except basketball, so I'm very keen.
Yeah, they're like third in the world or something
like that. It's amazing. They're a tiny country, small population, but they certainly punch above their weight in basketball. They've got some incredible players, so it should be a fantastic game. Get around that one. I suppose there's rugby finals, but if you want
I think it's last round for rugby, which is weird because I thought the finals start at the same time.
Do you guys watch the rugby?
Yeah, get around the storm a little bit.
I don't get into it too much. But if you want more about all those kind of things, make sure you get around the sports desk on Friday from 9 till 10. They talk an entire hour of sport, whereas we cram it all into one segment.
We try.
I think this segment is just about run out of time.
Just about out of time.
So we have got About You by Mike Shindona featuring Black Bear. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
Watch out, bit of naughty language on this one. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan, and we just listened to a favourite tune here in the studio. We love a bit of Big Yellow Taxi by Counting Crows. What a song, right?
Yeah, get around the Counting Crows.
Feel good songs.
It's such a feel-good song, a classic but a goodie. Now, we have to have a bit of a talk, James. We're going to get a bit serious here again for a second. I was minding my own business the other day, scrolling through my Facebook feed, as you do when you're, in your 20s and have time to spare. You go on Facebook. Yes, I'm sad. And I was astonished to see your name pop up next to a podcast, but that podcast was not our podcast.
No?
No, it was not. James, we understood that when we started doing radio with you that this would be a relationship between three people, a beautiful relationship, a monogamous relationship.
Very loyal.
Absolutely. However, this does not indicate that you have been faithful to us. This appears to me as though you've been getting around. Can you explain yourself, please?
Well, yes, I was on a footy podcast called Inside 50 with two guys from my uni, but did you happen to listen?
I did, and look, to be
You have to be fair, mate.
You did cross promote us. I am proud
plugged it a bit.
So if you're one of the two people out there in Melbourne who listen to both that podcast and Get Serial, please, please call in. We'd love to, or, you know, message in on our social media. We'd love to hear from you. But yeah, tell us about it, James. Seeing as you've come this far, what have you been up to?
Yeah, well, it's about getting the name out there. As you said, crossing down your Facebook, scrolling down your Facebook feed and finding my name. So hopefully my name comes to many more places on your Facebook feed and everyone's Facebook feed. It would be nice. So just to add another bow.
Yeah, another string to the bow.
That was the one I was looking for.
Which is a very weird saying, by the way. I don't know why you'd want multiple strings on a bow. It doesn't. Yeah, no, that just confuses me. But anyway, what did you have a chat about then? What did you guys discuss?
Well, it was mainly just footy. It's a footy podcast. So everything finals were coming up this week. We've had a bit of chat about that. A bit of the upcoming trade period. Obviously, that's an exciting time of year because you don't know who's going to come to your club. And just we're just waffling on about a bit of footy.
You didn't talk loyalty, did you?
Well, I'm loyal to Hawthorn, so we talked a bit of loyalty on our team's front, but I'm loyal to this show, and hopefully we'll be back on air next season to give our listeners another.
That's okay. Look, we rib you for it, but in all seriousness, do make sure you have a listen. It was a great podcast. I had a bit of a listen, and you got to get around it. Inside 50, the pre-finals bye edition. You'll find it on your your streaming platforms, I believe. So, but the question is now, Trisha, of course, if he's going to go around and be unfaithful to us, given that you are the one with a segment literally called Trisha on Sport,
he can't handle the fact that 5 minutes a week I do a sports segment, so he's gone out and cheated on us so that he can have the limelight for a little bit.
I'm a cheater.
Not only does he derail your segment, he also goes out.
And not to mention the fact that a couple of days before I decide to be a special guest on these guys' podcast, Trisha comes up saying we should do a podcast. And I'm not out of that. No.
Oh.
But okay. Oh. I want to do a podcast with Trisha. This is just a special guest. I'm not.
Brendan's,
I might be a recurring guest, but I'm not
on
this show permanently. So, Trisha, if you have a good idea.
I mean, I know we talked about how much I dislike group chats, but come on, where's the invite?
No,
where's the invite, peoples?
Before, like, this was a while ago, I always had the idea I wanted to do, like, might as well just put it out there because it's never going to happen. I wanted to do a footy podcast, but like keep like me anonymous because I was really scared about people knowing who I was and being judged and all that. And I never did it because I just didn't get the time to do it. And I mentioned it to James, and then we were like, we could potentially like create our own footy podcast if we found a niche enough topic, because I just don't want it to be footy.
Yeah. You've got to be a bit more specific.
Yeah, like, I find these podcasts, the one I did on Monday with the guys from uni, I think it's real generic, and you've got a billion of those kind of footy podcasts, and although it's real good, I don't know where you're going to gain audience.
Find
they're already listening to 100 different footy podcasts, and ones with experts as well. So
apparently, a bit of a shout out to, I've forgotten his name now, but one of our SIN members. I was looking on Twitter the other day, and he was actually talking on this topic. He was one of the first people to start a footy podcast about 15 years ago here at SIN, and he was saying how there's now about 260 of these podcasts out there. I don't know if that was a specific number, if he's just pulled it at random, but they were one of the first to set up a footy podcast. So good old
Remarkable.
SIN, always at the forefront of media, sometimes very much in the future, and sometimes, you know, with our love of Shrek here on Get Serial Thursdays, a bit stuck in the past, but we're always kicking
still
goals, so to speak.
With Shrek. We're not going to talk about that.
You're triggered about that, then make sure podcasts, if you get back and listen to the podcast to hear the moos, which really triggered Trisha.
Oh my God, it's just been an interesting morning.
It certainly has. So you can get our podcast rather than James. You can also get it on all the streaming services. Get Serial is the podcast you're looking for. We might get back into another tune now. A bit of Thrown by Bring Me the Horizon. You're listening to Get Serial on SIN with James, Trisha and Brendan.
And that one was Thrown by Bring Me to the Horizon.
Bring Me the Horizon.
Horizon. Same thing. I'm like, it threw me off then. Anyway, so yesterday or the day before, whatever it was, we had the Global Livable Report come out.
So ability. Yes. Yeah, it's a weird word, that's for sure.
I can't speak this morning. I was struggling to pronounce
it's
things.
It's fine. You're only on radio.
No big deal. So, Melbourne, for the second year in a row, finished second behind Vienna. And it was ours to... Why are you looking like
that? No, not at all. Oh. Like, James is giving me weird looks.
I'm like, it's did I get my facts wrong?
No, not at all. We came so second.
Yeah, to Vienna,
We are, the king of runners-up now? That's two years in a row.
So it was a little bit unfortunate, and it was just making me think about, like, what Melbourne would have to do to get our crown back. Because we all know here that I love... trophies and being the winner, and I don't like that. Melbourne
loser over here, and down the corner.
Yeah,
that's right. We did have an interesting result this morning in the ridiculous quiz. Make sure you get around the podcast.
Interesting result. I'm not so sure. I think it was just the right result.
Comprehensive result.
Rigged result. No, so because I don't see anything bad about our city. I quite like it. I would never leave to move to another city. But like, what would Melbourne have to do?
To come number one.
Yeah, to get it back.
Be in Europe.
Yeah, that too, I guess.
That would help.
No, well, Sydney finished in the top five.
That's
so
true.
So it's obviously nothing against Australia.
I feel like our healthcare and our education and our infrastructure's pretty... Our infrastructure could probably improve, like our public transport especially and things like that to get us up there,
It's interesting. Apparently, the different criteria, healthcare, education, infrastructure, and stability and culture and environment. There may be others as well, but that's the ones I'm seeing here. I think it's fascinating that, look, I'm sure we scored pretty highly on culture. I don't know about combining culture and environment because I'm not so sure about Melbourne's environment. It's okay. But
the air quality is great.
The water quality isn't.
Don't go swimming in the Yarra.
Yeah, isn't that the dream, right? Though, imagine being able to swim in the Yarra in the CBD.
I've never wanted to do that.
I so want to do that, but no, every I time I look at
the
water,
clean,
exactly.
I feel like I'd come out with another leg.
Oh look, you heard right that legendary thing where was it Jim Courier or someone jumped in to celebrate winning the tennis and literally was really sick for a week or 2 weeks later after.
You would be. The one down in Brisbane doesn't look any better either. That looks a bit muddy.
Yeah, they're all a bit murky, but that's the problem. They run through cities, right? So I don't know. I feel like we can improve that. The roads would be...
Okay, I'll ask you the question. If we had the best transport system, public transport system in the world, would we be the most livable city? I reckon that's what's letting us down.
But our public transport is still better than any other city in Australia, I would
no,
say.
No, it's not.
Where do you think it's better? Yes, but not the world.
Where in Australia has better public transport?
New South Wales have the nice Brisbane. Ferry systems.
Brisbane?
Like Gold Coast or up there.
No. They've got a few trains, but they don't have trains.
I think they have them like us. But I know New South Wales don't do bad with the ferries and stuff.
Oh, but they're legendary for having delayed infrastructure projects. And, you know, they're finally... That George Street tram has been going on for years. They ripped all their trams out. We're like the only city in Australia that kept
our public transport's not bad, but in terms of the quality of the trains we have in Australia and all that stuff, when you go into Japan and they're like bullet trains and you can get you can get to another city in about 20 minutes.
I'm surprised we haven't got that yet.
Oh, well, it gets
Sydney used to have the Skyrail, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, bring back the Skyrail. I reckon Melbourne needs a Skyrail. Imagine that, just going from skyscraper to skyscraper. Well, there you go.
These
that's
all
James'
promises
idea for the
that
week.
We've been told we're going to get and we never get it.
Bullet train would be amazing. Imagine being able to pop up to Sydney on the train.
I think if it's such a large country, the fact we don't have it yet.
It takes you a long time.
Yeah,
I'm sure doesn't the V-Line go up to New South Wales?
No,
I think there is...
Well, it's called the V-Line for a reason.
There's a connection there, but it's not fast. No. It's very slow.
I'm sure it would be.
If you could get a train going 300 k's an hour express, imagine that. How good would that be? You'd be there in a couple of hours.
That is the dream.
Absolutely. Anyway, we might get into another track here. What do we got coming up next, James?
We have Real Thing by Rule, and this song is fresh. Just real fresh. It's just
real fresh?
Coming,
how fresh?
Cream's dripping off it.
Oh, that fresh.
So, we'll give it a play, and I'm sure you guys will like this.
All right, get around it. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha, and Brendan.
Serial.
Good morning, everybody. It is Get Cereal on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan, your Thursday team. We've already had a fantastic show so far, and it's not about to stop now for our 8 o'clock hour. We have an interview with Chris from Melbourne Soup, which should be fantastic. Excited to have a chat with him about the great initiatives that they are up to. Might have a sneaky return of our segment Clickbait Frenzy, which people always seem to get around. We'll translate some clickbait headlines into some pretty entertaining stories normally. And we'll finish it off with a bit of entertainment news as well, of course, having some fantastic tunes. Tones and I makes a return because we love some Tones and I here. The Chainsmokers, Dean Lewis, and many others. So stick around, don't go anywhere, get excited. To start us off, we've got Father and Daughter by Paul Simon. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan.
That was Drive You Mad by Amy Shark. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin. And we're excited to have Chris Bernard in the studio. Now, Chris is the founder of Melbourne Soup, a grassroots community initiative that launched earlier this year. They organise soup events that are all about good causes, good food and good people. Chris is originally from Scotland and moved to Melbourne last October after finishing up his master's in social enterprise back home. He started up Melbourne Soup as a way of meeting new people and connect with others interested in doing good. Chris, how are we?
Good morning, good. How are you?
And we'll just clear up that you aren't a soup kitchen.
No, we're not. That's a common misconception. But no, we're not a soup kitchen.
Yeah, well, so what do you do? Tell us, give us a bit of an introduction. Obviously, we've hyped you up here. So.
So, Melbourne Soup, it's a grassroots community of people interested in doing good. And we basically do that through our events. So we have a soup event every 6 weeks, roughly. And at the soup event, you have four presenters. So people in Melbourne with ideas or early stage projects that have some sort of social or environmental benefit. So after the four presentations, everyone in the audience gets a bowl of soup, there's a bit of live music, and everyone has a vote. So you vote on one of the presentations. So when you come to the event, you get handed a poker chip and you use that to vote for one of the presentations, and basically the presenter with the most votes goes home with the majority of the ticket money. So yeah,
that's brilliant. Yeah, and what's the response been like from the community?
It's been amazing. Like sitting here sort of 7 months into having launched soup, and I didn't think it would be anywhere near the stage it's at now. In terms of, we've done four events so far. We're planning for a fifth one coming up. We've got a team of 9 of us working on this, all voluntary, I should add. The events have just gone from strength to strength. Every event seems to build on the last one and get better. And the most recent event we had, the fourth one, people were really sort of praising the fact that it felt like a community, and it felt like they kind of belong to something, which is exactly what we're trying to go for. So, the response has been incredible. We're now up to looking at sort of 80 to 100 people per event, and that's pretty consistent. So, yeah.
And what type of event ideas do people come and present to you?
All sorts. So, it's really interesting the different causes we've had come to us. So, just a couple of examples. So the second event we did back in March, we had a couple of guys, they're both current students, and they are starting a social enterprise called Spare Pair. And basically, it's like Tom's, the shoes, if you know Tom's, so but with socks. So they're selling socks, and for every pair they sell, they give an exact duplicate to someone in need on the streets in Melbourne. So there's them. Then we also had Give Back, which is a gleaning initiative. So basically taking volunteers to farms and farming the sort of waste produce. So instead of it being wasted, it gets distributed to other charities around Melbourne. So again, a very different cause. But yeah, we get all sorts, and it's fantastic. I think it's really a great platform for anyone that has an idea or a side hustle bubbling on in the background, but they've never got out to the public and talked about it. They've maybe, you know, consulted with family and friends, and it's a great opportunity for them to just get out there and sort of bear their idea to everyone and get some feedback and connections, because that's ultimately what it's about, is connecting people up, including with the presenters. So yeah,
it sounds fantastic. One of the biggest problems, as you say, for people who have great ideas and potentially great social enterprise ideas is getting over that hump of going from idea to actually creating it. Do you help people? Obviously, you have the opportunity to present your idea, but do you help people as well with getting from idea to presentation stage?
Yeah, so we've actually started doing what we call the pre-soup workshop.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Basically, at the second event, we had an absolutely lovely couple, Daryl and Cleo, who they're basically public speaking consultants, and they came to the event, and then they said, how can we help you? And so now they run a pre-soup workshop sort of 10 days out from the event, where we invite all the presenters along, and they give their, I guess, presentation, and they get some feedback on that, and just general public speaking tips. And as much as anything, I go along and I learn so much from them, because it's, you know, it's things like putting pauses in. It's stuff that you, when you're thinking of a presentation, you want to just get everything out there, but really you want to focus on the delivery and connecting with people and telling that really why you're doing what you're doing. So we do have that sort of bit of training as well that the presenters go through before the event. Yeah.
And is there a continuation on? So obviously you're helping to get these enterprises, social enterprises, off the ground. You're getting them a bit of funding to get them on their way. But is there, do you follow their journey closely? Do you continue to work with them?
Yeah, well, the whole thing is like we're building this community, and we want them to be a part of it, and we want them to continue to be a part of it. So, you know, we invite them back to the next events, and we're currently developing a resource for the presenters that's going to map out sort of other support programs that are out there. It's kind of in the back burner just now, but it's being developed, and we're going to share that publicly, but we'll share it. You know, we'll have this public version, and then we'll have the version that we send to the presenters, which will have like different contacts we have within organizations, and say, look, if you want an introduction to someone here, we can facilitate that to you. So yeah, that's to come, but yeah, we're thinking about that as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You've got a real community focus. Community has kept on coming up in this conversation. Yep. So can you describe to people who may be interested in coming along to these events just a bit more what it's like to be in the event and around that community?
Yeah, sure. So you come along, when you turn up, you get handed, as I say, a poker chip with our little soup icon on it. You then, there's a bit of sort of mingling at the start. Everyone then takes a seat, and we have a few different contributors every night. So these are people and organizations that give something towards us that then get an opportunity on the night to stand up for a minute and say what they do. So they're not presenting for the money per se, but they're getting their word out there as well. So typically what I mean by contributing is like helping us at the start of the night, say like set up the chairs, etc., or helping clean up at the end of the night, or baking a cake and bringing that along and sharing that with everyone. So you have a few of those. Then you have the main presentation. So it's the format is four presenters, 4 minutes, then up to four questions from the audience. So there's a bit of audience interaction there as well. And then after that, everyone breaks, and there's the soup and potentially cake as well. And then we come back, and we actually have a section of the night where we hear from the previous winner. So the previous winner comes back to this event and tells everyone what they've been up to in this sort of past 2 months. And then after that, we have a bit of live music. And during that time, we're counting the votes. So people have voted by that point. And then after the live music, which is always by a Melbourne-based artist, we reveal who the winner is. I don't really like the term winner. I feel like they all, everyone who gets up gets something from the night in terms of connections and things like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a real, as you say, a real community event. It's a real shared experience.
Yeah, and that's one thing. We're trying to come up with ways that we can keep engaging people outside of our events, because, you know, they're every sort of 6 weeks, 2 months. There's a bit of time in between, which is nice. I think if we did it every month, it would maybe get a bit tiresome for people. And we move them around Melbourne, I should say. So, we've done South Yarra, Paran, Collingwood, North Melbourne. The next one's in Brunswick. So we're moving things around. And we're just launching our own podcast as well. The first episode's literally gone live on Spotify. So the idea with that is that we have conversations with people in our community. So not just the presenters, but attendees as well. And we just catch up with, you know, how they heard about soup, why they came along, what they enjoyed about it, just look to keep engaging with people like that. And so we'll start to record actual content at our events as well, which will hopefully make up that.
And so if people do want to listen to your podcast, what name is it under?
It's just called The Melbourne Soup Podcast. If you type in Melbourne Soup on Spotify, it should be going up on Apple as well. It's live on Spotify as we speak.
Sounds brilliant. So as soon as you've finished our podcast of Get Cereal Each Week, make sure you get around that one as well.
Definitely. And if anyone wants to go to any of your events, where can they find you? And do you have any coming up?
Yeah. So Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. So Facebook and LinkedIn, just Melbourne Soup. And Instagram is @MelbourneSoup_. The next event is actually happening in 10 days' time. So the 15th of September in Brunswick. It's up at YouthWorks, who are a social enterprise, and so they're hosting us for the next one. Yeah.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. Are you happy to stick around after the break to have a bit more of a chat? Because loving this chat so far. We'll get into another song now. A bit of Lover by G Flip. This is an explicit one. Enjoy. That was one of the new tracks from G Flip, Lover. Her album has just come out and it is fantastic. Make sure you get around it. We're still lucky enough to be joined by Chris here in the studio from Melbourne Soup. We've been having a bit of a chat about all the wonderful things your organisation does, so thanks for hanging around.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we'll keep going with the chat for a little bit. How do the presenters at your events usually find out about Melbourne Soup, and how do they reach out to be a part of an event?
It's a good question in terms of how they find out about us. A lot of the time, I'm quite active in terms of attending different entrepreneurial and social enterprise sort of events, and I quite often meet people through that, and then get chatting to them, find out a bit about themselves, and if they've got an idea or project, then I kind of nudge them to apply. So there's an application process to become a presenter at Soup, and it's a relatively straightforward application, but yeah, 5 questions that we have, and the way it works is we have a sort of external judging panel, and say we get 7 applicants for an event, the judges rank them 1 to 7, and it kind of works out a score system, and then the top 4 go and go forward to present. But yeah, in terms of how they find out, a lot of the time it is just I kind of meet them and or know them and kind of nudge them towards applying. But having said that, there's been there's always at least one per event who comes and presents that just found us on Facebook or LinkedIn and saw it as an opportunity for them to get out and meet more people.
Well, given you've said it has such a community focus, it's not surprising that a lot of the people you meet are from within your community, right?
And that's great as well. And we've actually seen a couple of examples now where people have come to an event as an attendee and then maybe have come to a couple and then have got forward and ended up presenting. So at the last event, we had a couple of guys, Chris and Simon, who have started this project called the 100 Coffee Movement. Essentially, they met at a job interview, actually, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
And then a couple of weeks later, Melbourne Soup 2 was on, and they didn't know each other was going to it, but they both came along to it. They reconnected, and they've came to Soup 3 and then ended up presenting at Soup 4. So that's a really cool story for us as well, having, you know, they kind of reconnected at one of our events and ended up, you know, a couple of events later actually getting up and presenting. So that's a good story from our
success
community
story
as well.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Do you think that young people care about social enterprise, and more importantly, is it something that they should be caring about?
Absolutely. Young people definitely do care about this sort of stuff. I think, you know, there's a lot of injustice going on in the world, and everyone's kind of like going through, you know, whether it's studying or working and wondering, what can I do? What's my angle on this? What can I contribute? And, you know, grassroots sort of social enterprise and social business is a real way that people can actually get involved. So you can get involved as a consumer a lot of the time by purchasing products from social enterprises, or you can actually get involved by, you know, volunteering or actually becoming, you know, part of the team, like, you know, staff at social enterprises. Well, I think there's a lot of opportunities, and for me, the wording around it all is always about being the entrepreneur, being the founder. And I think that's you know, it's might connect with some people, but I think for the majority of people, that's just not going to be them. And so what Soup does is it kind of shows that the presenters that get up, a lot of the time they're really nervous, and this is the first time they've got up and kind of spoke in public, and it's more so about just being at an event like Soup is about knowing how you can contribute and having that thought while these people are up presenting. It's like, well, I could introduce you to this person I know, or I could get involved and volunteer at one of your events or something. And I think young people definitely do care about this stuff, and they just need more avenues and I guess more awareness raising, because I don't think a lot of people actually know, like, sort of what social enterprise is. I think people have this binary in their head of like charity on the one side and business on the other, and there's this very blurred line, which is great. And I think the more people that can come along to events like Soup, then the more people that can learn about other people around them that are starting off things, or even just have ideas, because some people come to us and, you know, it's still an idea, they've not really got cracking with it yet, and they just need that more people around them to sort of get that pushed off the starting blocks.
And, you know, it's all about those small acts, right? A lot of us, we think that it has to be big acts, dramatic acts that change lives. But, of course, it's just the small things like going along to these events that can often make a big difference. An example, of course, being Thank You Water is a big example of that. Yep. But, it's fantastic to hear the work that you're doing. We might jump into one of my favourite segments here on the show now. Are you happy to join in, Chris?
Sure.
This one's Clickbait Frenzy. We do play it each time we have a guest in that's happy to hang around for it. So essentially we go through a few of the biggest clickbait headlines that I've found around the internet because I love clickbait. But I don't like the actual stories. They're often quite dull. Instead, I like getting the panel in here, whoever it may be, to have a bit of a look and see what they think happens next in these stories. So today we start off with a picture of a small child looking glum with a bunch of toys, and it says, "Don't buy my kids more toys. Try this instead." What do you reckon, James?
Well, I reckon give them money because they'll appreciate it more when they're older. And they won't appreciate it when you give it to them, but I'm sure when they're looking at a car in about 15 years' time, they'll certainly look back at the money you gave them and be like, "Thank God you gave me some money."
That's a very serious answer from you.
Yeah.
It's quite unlike you.
A bit stuck.
What about you, Chris? You got one for us?
I mean, it's absolutely a recruitment ad. So it's, you're going to click on that and then suddenly you'll be in this portal where you need to upload your CV, I think.
I love it.
What about you, Tricia? Got anything for us?
She never does.
Just lock them outside and have fun.
yeah, that's right. Try locking them outdoors. No, look, I reckon it's something along the lines of "Don't buy my kids more toys. Buy them tickets to Melbourne Soup."
Whoa.
Sneaky plug there.
We didn't rehearse that.
That was cheeky. Man. That was very cheeky, man.
But it's a much better contribution to society. Of course, the actual answer is buy them experiences. So I'm not too far off the mark. That's actually a headline I agree with. I think experiences last longer than the toys. I've got a whole pile of toys that I can promise you I don't use anymore. Well, sitting back in a cupboard somewhere. Oi, oi, oi. All right, next one. A 2-year study of more than 5,000 people shows this one activity destroys your emotional and physical health.
Oh, it's obviously Zumba, isn't it?
Why Zumba?
I don't know. I feel like Zumba is just one of those activities that they think is really promotional and good for it, and it actually isn't.
Radio.
I was going to go the other way. I was going to say like a death metal mosh pit.
I love it.
I'm just imagining a researcher like doing some studies on that. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
A 2-year study as well. Yeah.
2 years just in the mosh pit. Oh no, I'm a cripple.
Trisha?
Well, my mental health is destroyed by the football, so I'm going to say that people that go to the footy every week.
Ah, you stole mine. Yeah.
Did you really?
It is not good for you, especially if your team loses a lot.
Oh, trust me.
And all those, you know, substances that might be involved as well. Look, the one for me is video gaming. Having gone back home earlier this week and played my brother in some intense soccer games on the gaming platform. Oh my goodness. It gets pretty rowdy, let's put it that way. Emotionally and physically destroying.
A few controllers thrown around?
It got close. Ooh. Yeah, sometimes it can almost come to blows. But anyway, this one, of course, the answer is Facebook. Apparently Facebook both
physical
destroys
health,
your emotional and physical health. I think it's because both all the scrolling along, but also that you're hunched over looking at your screen, your eyes, you know,
Your
as
posture
well.
Wouldn't be too great, would it? Yeah.
No, and apparently, I don't know, there's been lots of studies going around as well, and I think they've been disproven, debunked, but that it's also changing the way our necks are sort of, and our skulls are structured, because we hunch forward so much, but there's a bit of conjecture about that.
I'll admit I'm a huncher.
Yeah, you are a bit of a huncher, but we love you anyway, James. It's okay. And the final one, what happens when you drink a gallon of water a day with a picture of someone with a gallon of water? Surprise, surprise.
You turn into a water balloon and you may pop.
Chris, got anything for us?
I was going to go, you turn into a frog or something.
Yeah.
It's probably better.
A transformation. Yeah. Trisha?
really I'm looking confused at the picture. She looks like she's doing yoga.
So what, you start doing more yoga?
Yeah, it motivates you to be a little bit more active. I don't know. No, you know what my mind automatically went to, and James is going to be like, But the fishes jump in your mouth and they go swimming in you and they live in you. you become a human aquarium. Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. You become a human aquarium.
I have heard scary stories about like leeches being drunk and then growing inside of you. So you're not that far off the mark.
Imagine you had like a glass little thing on your belly and you could see the fishes.
Well, I'm not happy about that.
Trisha would love to be pregnant with fishes.
You're not wrong.
We do have a big Finding Nemo fan here in the studio. I don't know if I can really top that. I mean, I think you'd start to feel a bit wobbly, wouldn't you? You'd start to become full of water. You'd shake your belly and you'd hear the water go from side to side. It'd be like being on a ship or something. But no, the answer is apparently you pee a lot and not a whole lot else.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, well, that's underwhelming, but
that's literally the whole point of the segment, right?
I like human aquarium.
Anyway, Chris, it was a pleasure to have you on the studio this morning.
Oh, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
One more time for our listeners, if they want to get involved with your fantastic initiative, Melbourne Soup, when's the next event? Where can they find information?
Yeah, so next event, Sunday the 15th of September, so 10 days' time. Which is happening up in Brunswick. So it's a 5 p.m. start, so it's usually a Sunday evening, these events. If you want to find out more, we're on Facebook and LinkedIn as Melbourne Soup, and Instagram is MelbourneSoup_.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us.
We have Superhero by Law. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
I hear what you did there, Superhero.
Puns.
Melbourne Superhero. Let's get into it.
That one was Message in a Bottle by The Police. Now for our last little chat for this morning. This time of the year, everyone in Australia is looking forward to seeing who is going to be playing the grand final entertainment. It's a little bit of a hit and miss, definitely. But
Hashtag meatloaf.
This year, quite excited, and I know James is very excited for this one. James, you want to announce the scene? Who it is?
Who the grand final entertainment is.
Ooh. This one isn't confirmed as of yet, but Paul Kelly is tipped to be the headline for AFL grand final pre-game entertainment.
Oh, how Australian do you
get? And we play a lot of him. Leaps and Bounds would be a good song for him to do on grand final day, but I'm more excited about the other two.
Okay.
So we've got Tones and I, who happens to be my favourite artist at the moment. I'm liking her stuff.
Yeah, and it's a big call too, because I've seen really mixed reactions online. A lot of people who are going, who is she? Of course, traditionally, music on Grand Final Day has been conservative, I guess. Some would say old white men,
some would say. Yeah. I agree with
but,
that.
But yeah, you know, very conservative choices. And so to go something very, very modern in this case, someone who's literally just made a name for themselves. I love it personally because, again, I love Tones and I as well, but it's a big call.
And one of my other favourites, Dean Lewis, who I put in at least one song a week into our Get Serial playlist. He's another Aussie act that's an up-and-comer as well. So we've got Dean Lewis, Tones and I, and Port Kelly. That's a bit of a trio, I'm sure. As you said, the old men would like a bit of Barnsley on Grand Final Day. Unfortunately, he was last year, though, so we can't have back-to-back Barnsley. I wish we had about 20 years of Barnsley would be great, but we can't do that. Unfortunately, we have to keep it rolling. It's probably better than international acts. I know they trialled Tom Jones one year.
I'm a bit disappointed that it's not One Republic. The NRL Grand Final's getting One Republic, which would be
that would have been awesome.
Yeah, NRL always seems to outdo the AFL.
I mean, their game's inferior. Big call there. But
I mean, the entertainment of the game isn't as big as what we get, but they do get some acts there.
Yeah.
Maybe based in Sydney, it might be easier for them. Who knows? Melbourne's still big city, we should be able to get good people. But I'm really happy with this year.
Yeah,
this year's.
And they'll bring out a fossilised Mike Brady to play up there, Kazalia again. Nice how they always...
Gets more and more out of tune every year, but we love him. He's an absolute legend.
Who are we kidding?
You can't dislike Mike Brady.
And this is an anniversary. I forget which one, but it's been a long time since that song has come out. They reckon they just keep him in a cupboard somewhere at MCG
at
this point.
They just bring him out on grand final day. You don't hear him.
Roll
him
out.
You don't hear of him during the years. But once September comes around, Mike Brady just slowly creeping out of the MCG closet.
Do you think he's like Father Christmas? He just hangs around in a little hut.
He's the Father Christmas of footy finals. He's the Santa of footy finals. Good old Brady.
Trish is just making a very confused face.
It's just some of the things that he says.
Get around it, I think. Father Brady.
Father Brady.
It's got to be...
We love a bit of Mike, don't we?
Anyway, you got any other entertainment news for us, James, while you're on that?
No, unfortunately. Oh, I do have one more relating to the AFL Grand Final, and this is a big one. Hugh Jackman is another that has been rumoured to also headline. So if he's singing...
Hugh Jackman, hold on a second.
Singing Shallows down there, I don't think he'd get Gaga with him, but...
Wait a second. We need to have a chat, young man.
You just confused
Bradley Cooper, who Lady Gaga on Shallows, and Hugh Jackman, who is our beloved Aussie.
He's the greatest showman himself.
Got it from now on, and all those other hits that I forget the names of. Yes.
Bit of a blue this morning. That was
we'll review about that forever now.
Yeah, definitely. So which one is that? Because I actually haven't heard this.
Yeah, is it Bradley Cooper?
Hugh Jackman.
That'd be amazing.
No, it's Hugh Jackman. It's Hugh Jackman originally. And
well, that would be big.
So Hugh Jackman is seeing, like, Greatest Showman stuff.
Is he going to do a bit of dancing for us too?
Well, that was the show. He just likes a good dance move, doesn't he?
He has the moves out.
Oh, the
40-year-old women at the grand final will be frothing a bit of Hugh on stage. I don't know how many 40-year-old women you get at the AFL grand final. And there's 100,000 seats. It's probably about...
We'll get at least a good 800. You're going to start profiling the crowd. Take a survey on the way in. Did you enjoy this, this, and this? But when you think about it that way, they really have got someone for everyone. Mike Brady covers, you know, the people, and Paul Kelly.
The traditionalists.
Like the classics. You've got the new edgy stuff in terms of Tones and I, the Triple J, and a bit of mainstream with, Dean Lewis as well. So it's a nice variation. I saw, speaking of whispers going around, I saw that the Melbourne Cup, they usually have some big names performing there, but they're going for really big ones this year. I saw a whisper they're trying to get Taylor Swift to perform there in the Mountain Yard, which is definitely the strangest name in racing. But anyway,
definitely
live from the Mountain Yard, Taylor would be performing.
That'd be huge, absolutely huge. For Tay Tay,
we'll see what happens.
And for us, more so for us.
Do have a couple of Swifties in the studio, that's for sure.
I have my phase. Like, I loved her, then I grew out of her. And this album, I think, brought me back. I'm very excited about what else is to come.
And speaking of grand final entertainment, we've got a song from Tones and I. This is her new one, Jimmy. Definitely give this one a listen. This one is huge. I'm in love with this song already. So here's Jimmy by Tones and I. You're listening to Get Serial with James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
And if everyone looked at the time on their clocks right now, you'd realise that Get Serial has to get wrapped up for another week.
8:55 a.m.
Yeah, we're actually pushing it today. It's been a bit of a longer show, but that's okay.
It's because we're packed so much in.
I know, I'm actually quite impressed. So for those who hadn't really listened this morning, you know, we started off the show with some things our families said that we were a little bit unsure about. We did our Steve Irwin tribute. Our regular segments like Rated or Hater and Ridiculous Quiz joined in. Played some really good tunes this morning. I must admit, it was a fire playlist.
Fire playlist this morning. Loved it.
But for now, I guess it's goodbye for another week, and you'll have to just deal without hearing us, everyone.
That's why you should get around the podcast. It's on all the streaming platforms, and make sure to get onto our social media as well. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're even on Twitter, we discovered today. So make sure you get around, Get Serial on those platforms.
Yeah, but apart from that, we might say catch you later, guys, and enjoy the rest of your week.
That's it.
Yeah, toodaloo.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.